let's just see what God has for us today. Amen. Amen. At the end of the service, we're going to have everybody come up. Brianna, she's back there. She's our only graduate. She's already graduated, and we did not recognize her, but we're going to recognize her at the end of the service today, okay? And Brianna, the Lord gave me something for you. And 5 o'clock this morning, sitting in the living room of my RV, my puppies hadn't even stirred, sitting there drinking my coffee, still dark outside. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, okay, I need something. I want a scripture from you. And so he gave me that. So we'll talk about it here at the end of the service. But anxious to be back in the podium today. Amen. Back in the pulpit.
Amen.
Amen. To see what God has for us. And I do believe he has a word for us. We always want to stay sensitive to his spirit, Brother Norm. Amen. We don't want to rush his presence. Amen. We come to do business for the King today. Amen. Just to worship him, sit in his presence, be lifted up by each other's testimony, what God is doing, get filled up and go out again to this next week and pour it out. Then come back again with the saints gathered together. We need one another. Amen. Amen. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves when you hear that day approaching. Hallelujah. It's good to have all of you today. And we've got folks out of town and on vacation. Some are sick today. We do want to lift up our church family to you today. Amen. All right, let's get right into the see what God has for us. Promise this won't be long. I don't think it will be. If I get laid out on the floor, y'all just carry on, okay? Brother Kevin can come on up and finish my message today. All right. I'm not as brave as Brother North. Now, the last time he spoke, he had his iPad up here. And I got a free iPad. In fact, I only paid $11 for it. It's a nice one. I haven't even used it yet. So Brandon suggested, Dad, why don't you start doing your messages on your iPad? I told him, I said, I don't trust my iPad. I said, about the second line or the second paragraph, it'll go dark on me. But now, Brother North did that, and he was brave. You know what he did? He had a backup. His notes were back right over there on the stool. So, but anyway, we're going to carry on, Brother North. We're going to see what the Lord has for us. Okay, this is from Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Do we have it for the screen? Hallelujah. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should, everybody say that with me, earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
Which was once delivered unto the saints. The title of my message this morning is a question to each of us. Are you a contender or just an attender?
Come on.
That's the question today. And then another portion of text of Scripture is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Here's what he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Again, in verse 1, Paul says, I came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom. Now, Jennifer, I can read it when it's big words back there, but anything smaller, I'm not going to be able to read. So I'll just have to look at my notes here. It's all right. Here was an educated man, an intelligent man, a scholar of his day, who was skilled in the use of words. Paul was trained in the different schools of thought of his day, and he knew the power of persuasive speech to influence and change the mind. He was trained at the feet of one of the greatest teachers of his day. But this same Paul said, for I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In other words, Paul is saying, I emptied myself. I laid aside all the natural wisdom and human reasoning, and I constrained myself to only one thing, and that one thing is knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Yeah. To tell about Jesus Christ and all that He has provided through His life and His death and His burial and His resurrection. Again, he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of Almighty God. Paul was saying, I'm not just trying to impress you with my intelligence. I'm not just trying to impress you with my eloquence. And I'm not trying to win you over to another school of thought. I have come to bring you into contact with the power of Almighty God. Amen. And yes, Paul had the ability to speak to the minds and the reasoning facilities or the faculties of men and sway them and be able to manipulate them through human wisdom. But he determined that he would do anything necessary to guarantee that those he spoke to understood that it was more than just changing your viewpoint or your perception. A lot of preaching today is focused only on changing the way people see themselves and how to think different and how to mentally assent to a better life. But the gospel is not just about changing the way you think, which certainly is necessary. But the gospel is the power of God to salvation. It is the power of God to transform your life. It is the power of God to heal, to deliver, and to work miracles in our lives. The truth is, as New Testament believers, we should not tolerate or we should not accept a gospel that does not produce miracles and healing and deliverance and transform lives. If all it says is just you need to change your way of thinking, something is wrong. Because it's not all there is to it. That's included. The Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And it also says this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the power of God in our lives. And this is what Jesus meant when he said that he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But thus spake he of the Spirit that they that believe on him should receive. Here we go now. Whenever the kingdom of God is present, there will be manifestations of the power of God, signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Spirit and healing and deliverance and righteousness and peace and joy and, yes, liberty and freedom in the Holy Ghost. And one of the saddest things that you see happening in many full gospel or Pentecostal churches is the substituting of mental assent, mental stimulation and inspiration for the power of God. How sad is that? Songs that encourage and stimulate our minds to be all that we can be. But guess what? Not take us into the presence of God. Preaching that provokes our minds but never penetrates our hearts. In the Old Testament, there is a story of where Solomon had made shields of gold and had them hanging in the Lord's house. And then the king of Egypt came in after Rehoboam, Solomon's son, became king. And the king of Egypt took away the treasures of the Lord, the Bible says, out of the Lord's house, as well as the shields of gold. But instead of Rehoboam being grieved at that loss, over the loss, and instead of going to war to recover the golden shields and the treasures of the Lord's house, he simply made shields of brass and hung them where the golden shields had been. In other words, he substituted the fake, the inferior, for the genuine. They resembled the golden shields. They still had a shine. They had a sparkle about them from a distance that even looked real. But they were not the real thing. Sadly, many pulpits today are substituting messages that sparkle and shine and stir the intellect and stir the emotions. And oh, they sound oh so good, but they are not producing power. They glitter, but they do not deliver. They shine, but they're dead and there's no life in them. They are settling for something that sparkles and stimulates the emotions and the intellect, but is powerless to cast out devils or to deliver the drug addict or heal the sick or heal a wounded heart and set the captive free. Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." Get into the book. Get into the book. That means the words of Jesus are alive. They are powerful. They produce life. They change hearts and they change lives. They deliver the oppressed. They set the captives free. They heal the sick. And they produce miracles. Now that's what is so awesome about this group called Mercy Song Revival. I'm sure y'all have heard of that group. You know, they've been around for some time. I don't think they have any vinyl records left. I don't think they have an 8-track. I haven't seen any. Their records were not in my mom's, in the middle of her Dottie Rambo's, you know, anywhere. But now I think they've got some CDs there for you. You might not like their style of music, but they are reaching folks who may never cross your path or mine. And you've got to understand, they breathe it and they carry the anointing and power of Almighty God. And it never fails, because I've seen it time after time. When their time comes to minister in song, the anointing falls with the very first note, and it'll continue to the end. And they minister in song, and they minister in the word, and person after person comes up to them and shares how they were touched and they were changed, many desiring to pray for them. Awesome. Thank you, brothers. And they have voiced that if that anointing ever lifts, they're not going to be up there performing, because they've admitted this is not a performance. They're doing God's work. Mark chapter 16. This is Mark's gospel account. Jesus said this: "Go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every preacher," to every creature, plus the preachers. How's that? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." That's part of it. "They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And then we have Jesus, what Jesus said according to Matthew's account: "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, Brandon. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." So let me say it this way this morning: the gospel is really two parts: the message and the manifestation. The good news, and then the power of God producing the results. Now, I know we usually point our fingers at the pulpit, and we do blame the preacher if we are missing something and falling short of our blessings. And I confess right now, I did it, been there, done that, immaturity in my early years of my Christian walk. But we can't blame it all on the preachers. Even though I know that as preachers, we have failed in many cases to live the life and demonstrate the power of God. But the truth is, many of God's people are satisfied with a little sparkle and a little shine and a little tug on the emotions and a little stirring of the intellect. And after about an hour, they're ready to go to Cracker Barrel and stand in line for an hour and then fellowship for two more hours. So guess what? As believers, as children of God, our greatest battle is not against the filth and the corruption of this world and its temptations. No. Listen to me now. The greatest battle for the true believer is the battle between good and best.
That's right.
Between good and best. Watch this now. It's the fight to either move into the greatness of the purpose, the greatness of the destiny, and the power that God calls you into, or to simply settle down into a comfortable salvation. In other words, just satisfied with a little fire insurance. Oh, I hope you're hearing me this morning. Saved, but just saved. In the kingdom, but just barely. In the river, but just up to your ankles. Maybe even speaking in tongues every now and then. This is where the real battle is, because every child of God, now that's you and me, we have been called and destined to a life of purpose and power. Can you say amen?
Yes, amen.
God has called us to a mighty work. Mark 16 was not written to a certain group of pastors and prophets or evangelists, but it was written to every believer.
Amen.
Every believer.
Amen.
And what is sad is I believe many Christians will make it to heaven, yet they will have missed out on their destiny right here on earth. How it must grieve the spirit and heart of Almighty God, who has invested so much in us, and it is wasted and lays dormant in our lives.
Come on.
Oh, God, help us. We are called not simply to be saved, but we are called to manifest to the world the reality of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Understand with me that every child of God is called and commissioned to be a living demonstration of the full expression of the presence and the power of God.
Amen.
Upon us.
Amen.
How disappointing is it then to the Lord to have provided so much and we are settling for such meager proportions? Did you know, and I've said it many a times, God did not call us to be settlers. He did not call us to be settlers. Jesus said that we can have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives flowing out through us as mighty rivers of living water. But so many believers are content merely to just speak in tongues on occasion. The Holy Ghost brings with it, or brings to the body of Christ, 9 mighty gifts of power to manifest the divine supernatural character and power of God to the world. And they're not just for one or the other. It's available to all of us. Again, from our text, Jude says, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. He's not speaking of a mental assent or just an appreciation or a generic agreement with the gospel. Understand with me that he is speaking of the faith that produced power and miracles and signs and wonders and healing. The faith Jude was speaking of is a living faith, a faith that manifests itself in the activity and the works of faith. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, meaning more in number. I don't think you can get any greater than raising somebody from the dead. But he was meaning more in number, because I go to my Father. And Jesus also said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And as he is, so are we in the world. We must contend for that faith. And yes, we have a lot of attenders, but not many contenders. So, Pastor, what does it mean to contend? Well, I'm so glad you ask. It means to fight adversaries. Not people. Talking about spiritual adversaries.
Amen.
To make a forceful effort to deal with the difficulties that come our way and the dangers. To endeavor with vigorous and energetic zeal.
Amen.
That means you can't be passive.
It
means to strive to obtain something. Sister Sunny was not passive going up those steps in her testimony. According to Matthew's account, Jesus said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. One other translation says, is forcefully advancing. And the violent take it by force. Can I just tell you, the world outside these walls is waiting, and they are desiring to see us walking, Brother Kevin, in our sonship. They are waiting for us to walk in spiritual authority, revealing and manifesting then the presence and the power of God. Let me encourage you, when the Holy Spirit prompts you to pray for someone at the store or at the hospital or next door or at your work, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate, because, listen, their future freedom might simply depend on your obedience to the Lord. Man, I want to hear His voice. I want to hear His voice. Yeah, there's going to be another one. Well, you don't really want to embarrass yourself, do you? You don't really need to say anything to them. They're probably just fine. They're not hurting. Oh, they got lots of money. But the Holy Spirit is saying, tell them. Tell them God loves them. God wants to do something in their lives. He wants to transform them. We've got to be obedient. In closing this morning, and I believe the question the Holy Ghost has put before us, are there any contenders in the house? Don't live your life full of regret of what you did or didn't do. Determine today that you're going to fulfill your destiny. Where are the passionate and the violent and the bold? Where are the hungry and the thirsty who want more than just a ticket to heaven? But you want your full inheritance. Just like Caleb, I want my mountain. Yes. I want my mountain. I want the power of God in my life. I want to see devils cast out in Jesus' name. I want to lay hands on the sick and minister healing, the healing power of God. I want to operate and manifest the gifts of the Spirit. I want signs and wonders and miracles flowing through my life. Where are the contenders this morning? Jesus said, they that are hungry and thirsty, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, you're going to be filled just a little bit. You might get filled. No, He said, you shall be filled. Amen. Let me just ask, are there any hungry people in the house today? Amen. Amen. Are there any thirsty people in the house today? Let's all stand together. May we not forget that there is a lost and a dying world waiting for us to assume our rightful place in Christ and manifest the kingdom of God to them. Let me end with these last words. And this happened to be from Sister North's text this morning. Many of the praise team, she sent it out to the praise team this morning. Do not dwell on the past or what lies ahead, but let's wholeheartedly, everybody say wholeheartedly.
Wholeheartedly.
That doesn't mean just a little bit. That doesn't mean partially. Let's wholeheartedly look, Brother Kevin, unto Jesus.
Yes, sir.
The authority, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us rise up and be who He has called us to be. Can I tell you, that's a word for every one of us to take to heart. And that ought to be our daily prayer. Lord, I want to be everything you've called me to be. Oh my gosh. Everything we've heard today from the very beginning, you take it to heart today. Every word. Go back and watch again today the words that were spoken by different ones today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.